I'd like to, if you'd like to take down some of those notes about Passover, you're welcome to look them up, because I did not have a press to go to all these scriptures, just that I can give them to you, and if the press comes during the feast, you'll be able to go there. Exodus 12:11. That's Exodus 12, verse 11. Numbers 33, verse 3. That's kind of a neat one. Numbers 33, verse 3. Deuteronomy 16, verse 1. Deuteronomy 16, verse 1. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 15. And 2 Chronicles 35, verse 11. Ezra chapter 6, verse 20. That's chapter 6, verse 20. Mark chapter 14, verse 12. Last but not least, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Which is where we're going to be going. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. In this particular chapter, the Corinthian church has been making a mistake. They're boasting and proud about someone in sin. And he goes on in verse 6, he says, your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast, that you may be a new batch without yeast. Now, if you know anything about the Passover, you'd be aware that the matzah that you've just received does not have any yeast in it. Yeast represents sin. And if you get a quick understanding of yeast, it adds nothing to the bread. It's just a puff of air. Sin in your life adds nothing to you. It does nothing for you. So, get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. Meaning it's already completed. For Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. The Passover lamb, when you realize that he was a gift to the children for a week, was examined, checked out, make sure that there were no flaws on it. And if anybody knows how to check out an animal, it's kids. They will find one little gray hair on you that you don't even know you own. You know, this is really weird, but it's the truth. A child will focus more than an adult on any little thing and examine it, to understand it, and to comprehend it. And that's the intent of the family of God. When we look at Jesus, we look at him as our Passover lamb who was sacrificed. Notice it has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, which means this is a festival. It is a celebration. It is a time to rejoice. The Passover feast was something that was as exciting as Christmas, when you think of it. In our understanding, Christmas is a time of gift-giving, celebration, taking some time off, getting good food, gathering with family members, and Passover was all those things. But what happened to it? It became a time of death. And today, as I was sharing earlier, there's the second song on that particular CD. talks about we are givers of life. Make me into a giver of life, not death. Much of our Holy Week situations that are going to go around in Christianity, and I'm not against it now. It's not a pick on Christians Day. That's not the purpose. But it shows you where we've gone, no different than the Israelites. When you look at these beginning of those scriptures, you're going to find that it was called God's feasts. By the time it gets to the New Testament, it's called the Feast of the Jews. In other words, they created what they wanted out of it and left God out. And God let them have it. He let them have their party, and he let them have what they wanted. The only thing is, when he began to tell them the truth, they got upset. How many of you have ever had to tell somebody the truth, and they got upset? Yeah? How many of you know that they didn't receive your words because you can feel them coming back upon you? If you've gotten that feeling before, I want a show of hands. Thank you. I find that the mark of obedience is this for me. It's not for everyone the same, but it is for me. If I am to be pressed of the Lord to minister to, especially, I could call them lukewarm Christians, name tag Christians, you know, the kind that they are called Christians because they call themselves Christians, but yet they are of the world and in the world and of the world. Well, that happened a little while ago, and I did what God told me to do. Now, about an hour and a half later, I was getting excruciating lower back pain. And I was immediately pressed to go to Isaiah 55 and release the word so that it would not return void. Because I knew that God's actions and God's activity had been rejected. When that happens to you, you have a choice. Isaiah 55 says that you can release the word and command it not to come back without producing good fruit. If you don't do it, you're going to stay with a backache, and the enemy's going to tell you did something wrong. You lifted the kitty cat. You bent over in the tub. You did this wrong, or you did that wrong. For me, it hits the lower back because it's usually a form of witchcraft. And it will, if I don't do anything about it, cripple me. How many have experienced what I've just described? Put your hand up. Way up. I want you to look around. I want you to see that, you know, when this happens, it's because you have been obedient to the Lord. How do you pass over? How do you get over it? By using the word of the Lord. By declaring that this word shall not return void, but shall produce the fruit that it was designed to produce. And you can go to Isaiah 55, and you can read it for yourself, because if you don't, you're going to stay crippled. And you're going to wonder what you did wrong. How many know sometimes it's because you went ahead of schedule? Yeah. Or you spoke because you desired them to be set free, but they have no desire to walk in freedom. So it might be that you spoke before the anointing. And I've done that hundreds of times. And my choice today is to say to you, as Passover people, you're going to have to pass over your own mistakes. You're going to have to get over it quickly. Dale, you've never done those mistakes, but...
I'm perfect.
How many want to join Dale's club? All teasing aside, we can all look at ourselves in the mirror on this situation and recognize that there are ways to combat the enemy, because it is the enemy that's trying to put it back on you. The very first time that I did ministry, that I got hit with headaches. I mean, my head was so bad, I could not lift it up the pillow. Okay? All because I didn't know that I could release that word back out and command it to produce good fruit and not allow it to come back upon me. I had no idea what was going on in me. I had no clue. But I learned. I learned by some of the bad fruit. And it was no fun, and the aspirins didn't work. Okay? So be careful when you obey. John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30 tell you, Jesus never did anything without his Father giving instructions. Have you ever had somebody tell you, go and do this for God, and you do it without question? I have. Come to find out, it wasn't God's instruction. It was the person's instruction trying to set somebody else free. So you got caught by a controlling spirit that wanted to do something right, but it was not from the tree of life. It was coming from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? Which is the enemy. Okay. For Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Therefore let us keep the festival not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth. Now, I wanted that because I felt that it had some truth to give to you, so that when you are going through this Passover season, that you're going to come out different. You're not going to stay the way that you were. You will be changed. That's God's plan. Amen? Now go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Remember the Old Testament. Spoke about the lamb being perfect in order to be accepted. Verse 19. 1 Peter 1, 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Awesome. Did you hear that? If you back it up, verse 18, so you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. We talked about that a little while back. About how our parents and grandparents taught us what? How to die. And how to kill ourselves. Making bad choices. You said, wait a minute, my parents never taught me how to... I can tell you this, if they had the fullness of life in them, you might have had a victorious childhood. But if they didn't, they had the spirit of death in them, what do you think they were teaching you? That's right. I can tell you right now that I still fight some of the fear tactics that operate on me that were taught to me by my mother, well-meaning as she may be. And I sometimes hear her. And as I hear her words, I remember how I used to act and react. Well, if you dare go out that door without your mittens, you're going to have a cold. And you need 3 scarves, 2 pairs of socks, and boots up to your knees. Otherwise, you do not go out there. Because you're going to come back with pneumonia. Well, good heavens, what kind of a curse do you think I got? I had pneumonia quite often because I couldn't go out the door without all this bundling. Today I can walk out the door and I have freedom, but sometimes she'll remind me. Okay, what is that? Those are forces of fear that torment children. Were you ever a child? Did you have forces of fear torment you? You're halfway down the sidewalk. You've got your rubbers on and mommy said to put your boots up to your knees. And you got the wrong ones on. Are you now on a guilt trip? Yes, you are. So what do? You skip and run to school and hope mom don't get you when you get home. But you live under the torment. And I'm teasing you, but you understand. I'm not trying to say that these people did something wrong intentionally. They could only teach you what they had. And you and I taught ours what we have. And now we can teach them life. How many know it's hard to put life into somebody that's dying? Unless they come to the Lord and are transformed and their hearing gets changed and their eyes get changed and their hearts get changed, you are going to have a tough battle. Amen? But you can still plant seeds. Okay? Let's go back. 18 again. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. So why is Peter such an expert? How come Peter was such a double-minded person? Maybe he was brought up by somebody who was double-minded. So do you understand? He flipped and he flopped. Yes, I know him and no, I don't. Yes, I'm from Galilee and no, I'm not. I'll never deny you, and then he does. Got the picture? Where did he learn it? And I'm not accusing our parents of doing something intentionally wrong. That's not the case. It's just the word trying to give you insight as to why we need this Passover. We need to change from where we were to where we need to go. Amen? Okay. Now, verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for our sake. Isn't that awesome? Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brother, love one another deeply from your hearts. You know, I've seen people that say, oh, I love you, but their actions don't speak love. It's just a snow job. I knew as I was on the right track today, and I want to kind of give you insight as to why you can learn about negative forces in the most awesome places. I had to visit our young man, Andy, who just got a job. And this was his third day on the job, and it was my time to visit the vitamin store. And I guess it was a Holy Ghost encounter, because we had a good time for a few minutes. And I got to meet his boss a little bit, and that was good. And on my way in by the parking lot, I happened to go in through Sears. And I always check the markdown sales, because there's sometimes good things that you can pick up at a lesser cost. Make a long story short, I found something that I could use, and so now on my way back, after visiting with Andy, I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to walk out and pay for it and leave. Well, there's a couple, an elderly couple, and I've never laid eyes on them before. But how many know the enemy can spot you a mile away? Well, I began to get compliments from this woman, and she's kind of, you know, coming towards me, and she gives another compliment, and I'm thinking, oh, God, about, you know, do I need this snow job today, Lord? Because that's what it was. And the next thing comes that she's now going to ask for permission to put her stuff on the counter, and another little compliment. And I thought, oh, Lord, please, you know, really. Then she gives directives to her husband. Well, she says, did you see what this man has? It's time for you to buy something decent. Do you think I discerned correctly? I wanted to run. I wanted to give this man a hello, how are you? Can you live through this? Because he was being shot down, double barrel. I saw it. And I thought, oh my God, Lord. Right in the middle of Sears and Roebuck, here it is. Being advertised fully, trying to build me up with a snow job, and I don't need it. Don't want it, didn't ask for it, but I got it. The knowledge of good is harder to discern than the knowledge of evil. The word of compliment that builds you up might just be coming from your enemy. Woo-hoo. The word that builds you up could be coming so that they can cut you down later. Unless you discern the spirits, you're going to be in for some real awakening. How many have ever gotten the compliments like I just decided to tell you about? And you know that you know that you are just getting set up. Put your hand up if you've tasted it, what I've just described. Okay, so you've tasted it. And you know it. Now, there are some that have never tasted because they are above it. I bless you. If you've never tasted this stuff, I bless you because you're innocent. But I can tell you this. This is how you learn to discern. I just bowed my head and I said to the Lord, in my heart, do I respond? And I heard no. Because I would have fed the enemy. Amen? What do? Pass over. There's a time to pass over a compliment and let it die. There's a time not to acknowledge a compliment. Let it die. It doesn't come from God. And you know it because you know it's got an ulterior motive. Amen? Okay. Verse 23, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever, if you force it to stand. Otherwise, it'll bounce around. You can give a compliment from God to someone. They don't receive it. They'll talk about you after, 2 hours later. It'll be floating in the heavens, and all of a sudden, it'll hit you like a dart. And you'll wonder what happened to you. The word of the Lord stands forever when you decide that it's going to stay. You're the one that's the authority. He's given you the authority to speak it. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all this deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. That's what I was experiencing today. I was tasting it for myself. This person was giving compliments, but it was deceptive. Okay? I'm not saying this person's anything or guilty of knowing what she was doing. because it was a woman. It could have been a man. It wouldn't have made no difference. Okay? I'm not accusing. That's where they're from. How many know when you were not knowing God, you were a sinner? Is it normal for sinners to sin? Is it normal for sinners to sin? Yes. So what are they going to do? They're going to sin. Are they going to be full of all these deceptive things? Yes. Verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So you can grow in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. I believe tonight that as we open this up, my heart is to say to you that our Lord, Jesus Christ, wants you and I to live through this Passover and come out of it differently on the other side. To really acknowledge that there were times that you don't feed the enemy. You shut down. You be quiet. Don't respond to it. If you don't respond, you're not giving it any life or food. If you do respond, no matter what I would have said, because I knew what was speaking, I knew who was speaking. Was I absolutely perfect? Absolutely not. All I know is, by being quiet, I stopped the war. I stopped a potential compliment game that would have just gone on and on and on, and it didn't come from the Lord at all. So tonight, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to just release a blessing upon not only that lady and her husband, but that they may come to the Lord at the right time by the right individuals. I knew that I had nothing to say to them, but God, you may have an ordained person that will be ready to give them spiritual words to bring them to spiritual life. And I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen?
Amen.
And we thank you, Lord, for this Passover feast. We thank you for this time that you will just transform us from what we were to what we need to become. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said?
Amen.
And amen. Any additions?